to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. We're doing a series right now called What's in Your World? I do stewardship every year. I try to. A series on stewardship. And this year, we're calling it What's in Your World? We've all seen the What's in Your Wallet commercial, and I don't know if that's where that came from, probably. But what's in your world? And 1 Corinthians 4:12 says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Every one of us have a world that we live in. Everything that we have and everything that we are has been given to us by God. You're not a self-made man or a self-made woman. Everything that you have and everything that you are in this life is something that God has put in your life. And you don't own it. It's not yours. It belongs to God. Even down to the very body that you live in belongs to God. You, when you make Jesus Lord, you belong to Jesus. You have to get off of the throne of your heart. And you have to allow Him to live on the throne of your heart. And that's a challenge. Because honestly, folks, we by nature are very selfish people. We think a whole lot about what I want, what I need, what me, my, mo. Yeah, we think about that all the time. But as we begin to get the revelation that we are not owners, we are stewards, we are managers. And someday we're all going to give an account of the stewardship of what's in our world. Everything that God has put in the scope of our world, we will answer to God for. I hear it trickling. That's okay. This is sound effects, okay, in the background. But everything in your world is something that you manage. And we've already talked about, first of all, we talked that you have to manage yourself. Your spirit, your soul, your body. Everything about your spiritual life is up to you. Have you noticed that God does not make you pray? God does not make you read the Bible. God does not make you go to church. You have the freedom to make every decision that you make in life, unless something has intervened and taken away your power to make decisions. And anything that does that is not God. God is not one who imposes Himself on anyone, not in this age of grace that we live in. Now, there's coming a day of judgment, what we call the white throne judgment, the end times, where God will judge everything. And the secret in life is that if you'll judge yourself, then you won't be judged in that day. Amen? You can say amen in this church. It's okay. It's okay. So it says that first of all, if you're going to be a steward in anything, it's required that a man be found faithful. Faithful in what? Faithful in your whole life. Faithful in the things that are in your world. You're not responsible for my world. I'm not responsible for your world. You're responsible for your world. I'm not responsible for my wife. I can't make her decisions. It's not my job to make her decision. And besides that, she won't let me. I've tried. And she's stubborn. Just like me. She don't make my decisions. I'm stubborn. I have to make my decisions. What's good is when we can walk together and be agreed, and then we multiply the power that we have in our lives as husband and wife, and the influence that we can have in our world that we live in. And this is one thing that we all need to learn to do, is to multiply our influence. So, we talked about ourselves. Last week we talked about our relationships. We talked about the relationship that you have with God, the relationship that you have with your spouse or your significant other, the relationship that you have with your family and friends and then strangers. Today we're going to talk about a biggie with sound effects. And it's called time. Everybody say time. Oh, this is the booger bear of all booger bears. This, I believe, is one of the hardest things to manage. We all have the same amount of time in a day. How many of you think you probably waste time? Oh. Are we responsible for the management of our time? We really are. That means that we're going to have to do some things and look at some things. If this is a stewardship, God gave you the air that you breathe today. He gave you the life that you have in your body today. He gave you the time that you're living in today. We choose how we spend that time. And one thing about time is once it's gone, we never regain it again. You know what? You can spend money and get more. But you've only got a certain amount of time that you're going to be on this earth. And I believe that this is one of the areas that God is going to talk to us the most about when we stand before Him on that day. About the way that we spent our time. So this means that we're going to have to look at our lives. If we do what the Bible says, that if we'll judge ourselves, that we'll not be judged, then we're going to have to look at our lives and we're going to have to look at the way that we spend time. We don't like this. Let me make a suggestion to you. Journal how you spend your time for a week. Then go back at the end of your week and then evaluate how you spent your time. If you do that, then you will see what's important in your life. Did you know that what you say is important is not what's important? It's where you spend your time that's the important thing. See, Jesus said one time, He says, "You draw near to Me with your mouth, but your heart is far from Me." We can say, you know, I love God and He's first place in my life and He's all of this. But you know what? If we don't spend any time with God, if God is never in our thoughts throughout our day, do we really love God? Is He really that important to us, or is it just a thing in name only? You know, there's such thing as a nominal Christian, not denominational, it's nominal. Nominal means in name only. And God determines that. But if we'll look at our lives, we will see all of us, me too. You know, I'm not preaching, just saying, you know, you bunch of heathens, you need to get right with God and you need to... I need to look at my life too. I need to look at the way I spend time. It's amazing how much time we spend in front of the TV. Is it wrong to watch TV? No. But is it wrong to watch TV all the time? I would say probably, because there's other things that needs to be done. Remember the priorities that we showed you, the things in stewardship that are most important? Number one is you and God. Okay? Your relationship with God. That's important. If you're not right with God, you will never fulfill anything of importance in your life. You just won't. If you're not where you need to be with God, nothing else under that in your world will ever be right. That's the most important. Then the second thing we talked about was your relationships. You and God, you and your spouse, you and your family, you and your friends, you and others. All of that has to, you know, we have to bring everything else under that. And then today, as we're talking about time, time is something that we spend. You spend time just like you spend money, but you can't get the time back. You'll never get yesterday back. You'll never get yesterday back. You get to live it one time. So we've got to manage our time. In fact, it tells us in Ephesians, listen to this, Ephesians 5:15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We need to understand the will of God for our lives, and that's what we need to spend our time doing. Now, are we supposed to work? Huh? Are we supposed to work? I believe the Bible teaches that we have to work. God knows that. Is that good? Is that a good way to spend time? Yes. Can you become a workaholic? Is that good? No. Here's where you have to do and make priorities. And this is what we need to get down to, is that we need to set the proper priorities in our life. How am I relating to God? How am I relating to my spouse? How am I relating to my children? How am I relating to my family? How am I relating to my friends? Am I using my talents and my abilities for God? How am I serving strangers? How am I doing all of those things? Or am I spending all of my time on me and what I want to do? You know, we recreate a whole lot. How many of you know recreation's good? I went deer hunting yesterday. I didn't feel guilty. I spent some good time in a tree, me and Jesus, my little Kindle, reading and praying and relaxing. That was a good investment of time. But you know, if I did that every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, that would not be a good investment of time. I have to have a priority. And I have to follow those priorities in my life. And if I'm going to do that, I have to set what's the most important thing. It's a priority. Then you have to go down the list. Now let me tell you something that we often do. And see if this is not true in your life. When your life gets busy, how many of you know that the day that we live in is just busy days? It is. We're just extremely busy all the time. And usually, what is the first thing that goes when we get busy? It's usually our prayer time, our quiet time, our time with God, our time in the Word. Sometimes it's our family. Well, this has come up and I can't, honey, I said we're going to go out and eat, but we can't go because I got to go do this. And it's the most important things are usually the things that go first. And if you look on down here somewhere, it's the less important things that steal our time. This is why it says that we need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. There's a lot of evil out there. There's a lot of things out there that will steal your time if you let it. It's quiet in this church today. Are my sound effects putting you to sleep, or am I putting you to sleep? So let me challenge you. Set priorities. There are some things, listen to me real closely, there are some things in your life that just need to go. You say, well, Pastor, what is that? I can't answer that. Only you can do that. Do a journal. See how you're spending your time. Do an evaluation of how you spend your time. And then make the adjustments. Decide what's priority. Look and honestly see what's your priority. Not what you say is your priority, but by how you spend your time, see what your priority is. Now, God doesn't expect you to pray 10 hours a day. Understand that. But he does need some time. Now, you know what? If you could start your day with him, it's amazing how well your day would go. Just have a little talk with Jesus. Where's Randy at? He likes that song. Have a little talk with Jesus. Have some prayer time. Have some worship time. Have some quiet time. Early in your day. Oh, I just don't have time. Then God's not a priority. If you don't have time for God, if you don't have time for the church, if you don't have time for your spiritual life, guess what? That's not a priority in your life. Then you need to go back and cut some things out of your life that's stealing your time. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Now, in Ecclesiastes, there's two things I want to talk about. That's number one. Number two, I want to talk about the seasons of your life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, remember the bird? Is it the birds that sang this song? To everything, turn, 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 there is a season. Now you know why I'm not on the praise team. Turn, turn. That's in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it says this. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time, a time, a time, a time. It talks about there's different times in the Bible. There are times of our life. We all go through stages of our life, and these are called the times of our life. And let me say this, and I was thinking about this morning as we were sitting in the worship service. I was worshiping, but this just jumped up in my heart. Life is about entering and leaving, leaving and entering. Entering and leaving, and leaving and entering. We're born as babies. We leave babyhood, and we go into childhood. We leave childhood, we enter adolescence. Don't we? I think. We leave adolescence and we go into adulthood. We leave adulthood and we go into old age. We leave old age and we enter into eternity. And how you leave determines how you enter the next stage of your life. Now think about this for a moment. This is why management is so important. This is, and we enter this, we all enter this world as babies. Guess what? We don't have a lot of control over what happens when we're babies, do we? Only thing babies do is cry, eat, and poop. That's what babies do. But somebody else has to take the management of their life. It's called the parents. And one of the big problems that we have in our society today, that we have a lot of adults that are not moms and dads, they're sperm and egg donors. And they do not manage their babies. They do not take care of the needs of their babies. Now they may take care of the physical, some of them don't even do that. But they don't take care of the mental and emotional needs of their babies. And how a baby leaves babyhood and goes into childhood determines the success in that next level. Then we have the thing in childhood. We enter childhood. Still, children are not capable of making adult decisions. We shouldn't expect our children to act like adults. They're not adults. They can't think like you do. They don't have the experience. They don't have the brain power. They can't make adult decisions. You have to make decisions for them. But what are you preparing your children to be? We need to be preparing our children to be independent or interdependent, not independent, but interdependent. We don't want our children to be dependent upon us all of our lives. You know, that's why you potty train. You potty train. I'm so glad that we got Kevin potty trained. I'm glad that we got that taken care of, because we wouldn't want to have to do that now, would we? See, it's about training. It's about instructing. That's the responsibility of the parents, to take care of the needs, to make the decisions for children that they're not capable of making. You know what? The way that they leave childhood determines the way they'll enter adolescence. And adolescence is a very difficult time. In fact, I think adolescence is probably the hardest time in our lives. Maybe that and dying. I hadn't got there yet. But being a teenager is tough in the society in which we live. There's so much that bombards our kids with evil. So many things that are projected through the media, through music, through all kinds of things that reach out and try to pull the kids away from the way that they should live. We still have a responsibility as parents to help with those decisions. Now they'll do what they want to do. They'll do what they choose to do. When they're little bitty babies, they don't have the reasoning ability to do that. Honestly, as teenagers, they don't completely have the reasoning ability to do that, because they have not had the experience that you have had. But how many of you know that a lot of times teenagers do not want to listen? So your challenge as a parent is very difficult where that's concerned. But how they leave teenage or adolescence will determine the success that they have when they enter adulthood. So everything's about entering, leaving, and leaving, and entering. And it's about managing. You will always, as a parent, be a part. You should always be a part of your kid's life. My sons are in their 30s. But they're still my kids. I have to take a lesser role in their life, but I still have a role in their life. And what you want to do is teach them to be interdependent so that they can leave and cleave to their spouse and they're not dependent upon you anymore. But you want them to have healthy relationships. You say, well, I thought we was talking about stewardship. That's exactly what we're talking about. It's how we manage what's in our world. See, you cannot be selfish as a parent and expect to raise healthy kids. You can't allow one individual in the family unit to do the kid raising. There are some things that only a mama can do. And there's some things that only a daddy can be. God put it together like it was supposed to work. A man and a woman, and they affect the kids. A little girl needs a daddy's love. They need a daddy's approval. A little boy needs a mama's love and a mama's approval. They need daddy's love and daddy's approval. See, but there's roles that we play that only we can play in our kids' lives. Grandma can't do it. Uncle can't do it. Nobody can do it like mom and dad. It's up to us. It's our responsibility. It's our stewardship. You know, your children don't belong to you. They don't belong to you. They belong to God. And we all give an account how we manage what's in our world. Well, it gets quiet when you talk like this. Then we enter adulthood. The choices, you know, I've always been amazed that the choices, the hardest choices that we make in life is usually when we're the least prepared to make them. And that's in our teenage and early 20 years. You choose what you're going to do, your profession, and you choose who you're going to spend your life with. Do you think that we need to manage things properly? Because who you choose to live your life with will affect your life, whether you like it or don't like it. We could have all kinds of testimonies of people who have made mistakes and have regrets because they did not make good decisions in the day, that they did not manage their decisions well in the day. And it's cost them. Then we have testimonies of people who have made good decisions and have had blessed lives because of the decisions that they've made. The good thing is that He's the God of the second chance. Amen. If He's not, we're all in trouble. Amen. So, I mean, we're not here saying, well, if you've been through a divorce, then you're condemned. No, we're not saying that at all. We're just saying, if we will make good decisions, our chances of success are a whole lot better. And how we leave and enter determines the next phase of our life. I don't want to come to the end of my life. And this is the end part. You leave adulthood and you go into the latter phases of your life. I don't want to enter my old days, my last days, with regrets. Man, I wished I had, if I had only done this. I don't want that to be. I love what I heard Rick Bezett share. Rick Bezett got a chance to be with Billy Graham not long ago. Billy Graham is in his last days. He's, I don't know how old he is, he's 80 something, has Parkinson's disease. And they got to, him and I think it was Dino Rizzo got to visit with Dr. Graham. And he shared with them and prayed with them. And Rick said, Dr. Graham, is there anything we can pray for you? He says, just pray that I finish strong. Now, the guy has lived for God. The guy has won no telling how many people to the Lord. And he just says, just pray that I finish strong. And that's where we ought to be in our lives. That we want to finish strong. Because life is a stewardship. We will be judged by the life that we live. I'm not talking about whether you go to heaven or go to hell. You settle that when you make Jesus Lord. I'm talking about the way that you spent what God has put in your life. I don't want to be wasteful. I want to be able to manage the time of my day, my week, But I also want to be able to manage the seasons of my life. I want my, like when my kids were small, I wanted that to count for something. I didn't want to raise kids and then them hate church. That's not what my goal was. I wanted my kids to love to go to church. I want to create an atmosphere here, and I think we're doing it and have done it, that if you don't want to go to church, your kids just have a sidewinding fit. Mama, I want to go. I want them to want to go to church. I used to have to go to church. Now I want to go to church. I mean, I want to be a part of Christians' lives. And are Christians perfect? No. Sometimes we act like heathens. Sometimes we do stupid stuff and say stupid stuff. But listen, we're still the best God's got. You're the best, Joe Nay said, you're the best God's got. And that's true. You're the best God's got. And I like being around you. I like being around God's people. I like real, honest, open, transparent Christians. Those are the best kind to be around. That love God. And we can share things in common. So it's all about entering and leaving. Leaving and entering. Entering and leaving. Leaving and entering. I want to say something to parents. Whatever you put first in your life will affect the way that your kids prioritize their lives. If the church is just an afterthought with you, it'll be less than that with them. It's that important. You are shaping and molding. Manage your time well. Set your priorities well. Some of the greatest memories that we have as a family is vacation time. That's important to take vacations and do things together. It's not all spiritual. I could tell you some funny stories. I better not. We used to have vacation bloopers every year. Sometimes it was Joe. Sometimes it was Kevin. One time it was Kathy. Bloopers. And some of them I can't even share. You know how families are. But those are great times. Those are memorable times. Times that we spent together. We'll never forget those things. You know, kids can probably not tell you everything that they've gotten for Christmas. Are you listening to me? Because a lot of times we throw money at things that we need to be throwing time at. I'll say that again. Sometimes we're throwing money at stuff that we need to be throwing time at ourselves. Your kids will not remember what you got them. That'll not be the thing that stands out in their minds. It'll be the things that you did with them. So that means we've got to manage well, don't we? In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. It's a tough word. It's a word that hits us all right in the stomach. Because honestly, Lord, there's all of us that we waste time. Sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes we just let things get out of focus in our lives. And we let the things that we want to be important slip into second or third or fourth place or even just non-existent. Lord, help us to focus today. May this service be a time of refocus. Because, Lord God, we do want to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We thank you today for that. Thank you for dealing with us. Thank you for giving us another chance. We thank you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and the you and God thing is not where it needs to be. You don't have a relationship with God. Jesus is not first place in your life. This is so important because this is where it begins. This is not some second or third or fourth. This is where it starts. You and Jesus being right with Him. If you're here today, you need to make some things right with Him, whether it's never known Him or not where He needs to be in your life. We want to pray a prayer. We don't make you stand up and come up front. We'll just all pray a prayer together. If you want to be included in that prayer, slip your hand up and say, there's some things I need to make right. Okay? Several hands. I've got to refocus. I got to get right with God. I got to refocus. I got to get some things out of my life. There are things that I have allowed to dominate. Maybe it's a hobby or a habit or a whatever. I got to get it right today. Anybody else? Several hands went up. Okay. Everywhere. Okay, let's all pray this prayer out loud together. We're going to pray a double prayer here. First of all, we're going to pray a salvation prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I'm sorry that I've wasted so much time, that I've not allowed you to be first place in my life. I repent of that today. Jesus Christ, come into my life. I put you first. I make you Lord. And I thank you for coming in. Cleanse me of my sin. And I receive it in Jesus' name. Lord God, I want to refocus my life. I want to get rid of what hinders me so that I can redeem the time and I can please you. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time today, making Jesus Lord, Jerry's here at the back. We got a Bible that we would love to give you that tells you how you can grow as a new believer in Christ. Go by and he'll give you the Bible and no strings attached. And man, it's been an awesome day together. Amen.